Thousands of people come to the Johnson Space Center in Houston every week to look at some of the rockets and equipment developed back in the 1960s for NASA missions. For many people, those were the glory years when the Apollo astronauts walked on the moon. But John Connolly, who works with NASA's new lunar project based at the Johnson Space Center, sees even greater things ahead.
There's a new generation of engineers and scientists now at NASA who are eager to get back to the moon to find out a lot of those things that Apollo uncovered and that now we're able to finally get back to the moon to explore.
Engines are firing and tests already underway for the powerful new Ares rockets NASA hopes to use in its Constellation program, which involves returning to the moon within 10 years to establish bases. The missions will count on a much larger lunar landing vehicle and mechanical rovers that can transport both astronauts and equipment around the surface of the orb. John Connolly says there's now evidence that there may be water in the form of ice at the moon's poles. In addition, he says, the study of material brought back from the moon's surface four decades ago shows the availability of oxygen that perhaps can be extracted from the rocks using solar energy.
If you could make all of the oxygen that you needed at a place like the moon and not have to bring it all the way from Earth, you cut by a factor of 80% the mass of stuff you have to bring with you in order to survive in space.
But such plans, ambitious as they are, disappoint many space enthusiasts, including the second man to step foot on the moon in the Apollo 11 mission, Edwin Buzz Aldrin. At a recent appearance here in Houston, he expressed skepticism of the plan that will take another 10 years just to get back to where he was 40 years ago.
Surely there's something not quite right. Maybe we are implementing this wonderful vision in not so smart a way.
Others are critical of NASA's plan to abandon the space shuttle next year to concentrate all efforts on the new program. They fear public enthusiasm may wane if years go by without any major missions. Business experts also wonder how a government agency like NASA will fare at a time when the U.S. budget deficit has reached record levels. Chris Bronk, a technology analyst at Rice University, and Troy Gaddis, a computer systems architect with Houston's Open Team software company, recently wrote an editorial suggesting NASA needs to be more like an innovative private company. Chris Bronk says government funding may fall short in the years ahead.
When we look at the manned space mission goals, you know, getting back to the moon, getting to Mars, there's a mandate there that doesn't equate to the resources that are already provided.
The answer, says Gaddis, is innovation.
Given the realistic government budgets going forward, if NASA is going to accomplish these great inspirational things, they are going to need this level of innovation that makes space travel become cheaper, easier, faster on a regular basis.
NASA officials say they are aware of the budget restraints. John Connolly says the agency is trying to carry out the mandates from the President and U.S. Congress, relying on expertise from within and from experts around the world.
It starts internally at NASA. We have a lot of people who are real smart thinking about this and who have thought about it for many, many years, like myself. And so that's where it starts, but it quickly grows to be a project where we get the inputs of lots and lots of smart people out there.
NASA hopes to do a manned test of the Orion launch vehicle by 2015 with the goal of sending a mission to the moon by the year 2020. The Orion, which is flown into space on the new Ares rocket, includes a launch abort system that will allow the crew module to separate and return to Earth in case of a malfunction. The Altair lunar landing craft is being developed to carry up to four astronauts to the moon's surface and allow them to stay there for up to a week. Greg Flakus, VOA News, Houston.